All right, we're live. We're live. Yep. All right, so today for session three, and in the book, I believe, I want to say 55, section three, page 55, the topic's debt. It's just all about debt. So we're going to try to scoot through this. I have this sense in here that... that maybe this isn't the biggest topic for this particular group, but...
We have one that's younger, so I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll see, but we're going to scoot through it, and we're going to open up. Here's Tim.
Hey, all right.
So, hey, Tim. And so we're going to start off with a video. I love teaching when it's a video.
So, I don't have to teach.
Oh. Take time away from the...
So how do I do this, Matt? It's not a hot link.
Oh,
I know, but I think that's gonna play one, then I have to skip forward.
It's probably like one continuous video and you'll just have to
stop it.
You can drag it along the bottom until you're where you need to be. What's your plan? Should be playing.
Oh, well, there it is.
The sound is gonna come off the laptop too.
Okay, so everybody zip it.
With us as Ted meets the compelling voices of his name.
Does the TV have an impact?
No, it's only connected to video.
Oh, so the sound.
You turn the sound on the laptop up.
It is, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, we're going to have to bring in our external speaker.
What's that one over there?
100% it says.
Yeah. And then you went to the video and turned it all the way up.
Yep,
to
it. Yeah. It's 100% on the video as well.
That's
it.
Yeah, we could play the DVD directly in here.
We just have to be quiet.
You
think about it. All right.
Yeah.
Give a couple seconds.
Hey.
Continue. Read. Discuss.
Open
your discussion.
The Holy Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire. Let's
All right. Yeah. Hey, guys. While we're doing this, I went off the menu. You guys know me well enough. I don't stick to the script very well. And I thought of a few things. Maybe we could... Did you get it? Okay. Maybe you could keep these in your mind as we go along. So one thing that kind of a thread through here, is there a moral aspect of debt? Moral meaning right and wrong. Is there a right and wrong aspect of debt? Is there a right and wrong aspect of bringing some people donuts and not everybody?
I don't know anybody that would do that. Did you fly out to Minnesota? Yeah.
The second thing, I guess,
behind a wagon.
The second thing that I didn't think was treated very well in this section, it would be perfect for those two, and maybe for some others, is student loans and where they play in. I've heard some fabulous numbers, $300,000 for a business degree. This is not a medical degree or a law degree. So there's just something between doing your mind. Parents / grandparents helping their kids. Where does that play in? I think there's perfect place for it, but I'm just gonna pay off your credit card bill. That's maybe one extreme. To hey, we're gonna take on our grandkid. That's another extreme of this. Some themes to think about. Another one. How do we? I think for the most part, there's a lot of fiscally pretty savvy people in here, but. Another thought to keep in the back of your mind, what do you do when you see another person kind of going down the wrong path? How do you help them? And then here's one that I was really interesting for, a conversation starter, but if you find yourself in debt, and especially if on that moral aspect thing, and we believe, this is probably actually kind of a wrong, like a morally wrong thing, should families be taking second and third jobs and not being home in the evening even with their children if needed to get the debt gone for a year or something? So just things to turn in your mind. It was kind of provocative questions. So maybe we could start it and we can come back to those at the end.
I love that.
See the sale. This is just great. I can finally buy Joan that bedroom set that she's really wanted in mission style. And I get a free plasma TV I can use to start the entertainment center downstairs.
Dave, can you really afford that right now?
Won't even take those.
Jeff, it doesn't matter. It's 0% for 3 years.
RF emissions.
I've got a lot of room left in my credit card. And when will a deal like this come again?
Slipping into buying things you really can't afford right now happens so easily and quickly. There's a heavy price to pay. Watch with us as Ted meets the compelling voices in his day. Dave.
Store is having a sale on all its fine suits.
Really?
Yes, Ted. A sale just for you. Turn left here.
Why not?
The color of the suit is perfect on you.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
I'll take it.
You know, we have a fine selection of shoes and ties.
Really?
Oh, yes, sir. Right this way.
Sign right there, sir.
There you go.
Oh, with your credit card, sir.
And thank you. Do come again.
Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye now.
Oh, hey, Ted.
Hi, Marcy.
How's it going?
Good, and you?
Oh, not too bad. Is that a new suit you're wearing?
This old thing? No.
Oh, well, it looks really nice on you.
Thank you.
Well, I'll see you later.
Do you need to ward off boredom?
Shoot that radio fire.
Not even plugged in.
Over here, Ted.
Well, yes. Yes, I do.
Welcome to the World Wide Web, Ted. Today there's no need to leave the comfort of your cubicle to see the world, or better yet, to shop the world. All the things you could ever want are right here at your fingertips.
Two guys out in the lobby that want to see you?
Me?
Yeah. They said they're from your bank and credit card company.
Could you just tell them that I am out?
Out?
Yeah, I have an important meeting to go to.
Okay, where?
Someplace else. Thank you, Marcy.
Okay.
Thank you.
And your coffee? 1645.
1645 for a coffee and two pastries?
Well, it's not just any coffee. We are at the Full Moon Coffee Cafe.
Yes, of course we are.
Oh. Do you take credit cards?
Of course you do. Hello, yes, Sam's Jim. Yeah, I'm calling about your ad in the paper for the special. Yes. Oh, my credit card number? Sure, just a minute. I'll stop it. Thank you.
Hey, Ted, do you need to get away? Well, Ted, does Palm and Sand World Travel have an opportunity for you? Buy your dream vacation now and pay later. It's the only way to go. Visit one of our convenient locations today. Aloha, Ted. It's been great doing business with you. Next time, Ted, remember, we're everywhere you don't want to be. Ted, did I forget to mention our convenient payback with interest plan? Ted, what's in your wallet? Nothing? Sorry, Ted. Well, Ted, remember, next time, do leave home without us.
They didn't even mention that, those places where you can get the...
Well, we can really relate to Ted's challenges, like, can't we?
Cash advance things.
We've all been there one way or form, and like Ted, there are a lot of people who feel chained to debt. And many are on a path toward financial disaster, but don't realize it until it's too hard to turn back.
And those are some pretty serious obstacles to living the full life that Jesus promises. But that doesn't mean things are hopeless or that we should despair. Don't forget the Heavenly Father who watches and guides us. Two life practices are essential to get back on track. Discipline and delayed gratification. Discipline emerges from following God's word. The closer you get to Christ, the stronger your self-discipline becomes. Delayed gratification is a second life practice that is essential to get on track. In our market society, with a consumerism focus, having it now and my way are two concepts pushed by advertising. Just think how advertisers bombard us with messages to get something now without waiting. The end result? Our hearts are usually pulled in the direction of having as many things as soon as possible and now. In the end, we become emotionally and financially enslaved because of those decisions.
Exactly, Jeff. In fact, God does give us a lot of things to enjoy, and we should receive them with thanksgiving and enjoy them well. But living to have more stuff doesn't free you. It makes you more of a slave. In fact, it seems like the more stuff that we have, the greater the burden of money and time and energy to try to sustain it. In fact, I don't know of anybody, and I'm sure I haven't heard anyone on their deathbed that I visited say I wish I had more stuff, or I wish I could have made more money. It's all about a perspective of life. And as we said before, it's not about the abundance of things, nor the absence of them. It's about a relationship with God that helps me understand my identity and what I really have and how I'm blessed. And our encouragement to you in this session is that you identify what you need to put most of your energy into in your financial life at this time to overcome your obstacles. So fix your eyes on Jesus and see his perseverance as he met his struggles so that you can overcome yours. Because if you're connected with Jesus, nothing is too great for you.
Okay, so we're on, would you put it to the other one? We're on page 55 in the workbook again. So it invites us to share stories or observations that talk about the marketing pull on our lives. And or listing the ways in which credit cards and other easy credit bring trouble in the lives of people. So open it up, throw it out there for you guys. Yeah?
We used to teach a class when my son was in high school. Several of us would be busy. One of them was a banker, and he was a friend. He would come into the class for the economics class with the kids and give each one a credit card for $500, just said, go out and spend it. Then he put up with minimum interest, you know, minimum payments, and he showed them how long it would take them to pay back and how much it would. He says, anybody still want to go spend it?
Yep.
It was taking, that $500 was over $6,000.
Yeah.
And it took him over almost 11 years to pay it off, paying minimum.
Yeah.
And he said, we only made a few dollars.
Yeah, no, that's a good one, Matt.
Well, even like the different rewards programs make using your credit card even more compelling.
Rebates or miles or, yeah, that's a good one. Tom?
I have the miles, but my company paid for them, so.
Yeah. Well, the miles, I'll tell you, using the miles isn't that easy either, so it's a pain. It's a pain in the neck.
Try using them.
I know, so.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about when they were talking about the credit cards is, the credit card industry says you can pay off all of your credit card debt now by taking out their card or by taking a second mortgage.
Consolidation loan.
Yes, all of that. And that's a ploy, too, to get you further.
It's a scam. I agree. Matt?
Maybe some of the bigger purchases, appliances and whatnot, furniture, you don't have to make a payment for a year, and you kind of glaze over the fact that if you don't pay it off in a year,
wham,
you get hit with all the interest in the previous 12 months.
And if you're not putting away money each month to pay it off, because it's a long way. It's 30 days same as cash, 90 days same as cash.
Yeah.
That's you're borrowing money.
91 days same as the credit card. Yeah. The
company is actually borrowing money in your name.
That's right.
So it's a debt, and it won't even show up on your credit card.
Yeah, know the terminology. Jenny?
And I hear advertisement on the radio all the time now, too, that you shouldn't have to pay off all that credit card debt. If you come with us, have you guys heard that commercial?
Yeah, you get $10,000 in debt or something, we'll wipe it out for you.
Yeah, or wipe it down to $2,000. And so it's like, go ahead,
this
deserve this, spend it.
This is interesting.
Somebody else has to pay.
At the beginning, I got into this moral aspect of debt. Another aspect of it is, and this isn't—it's not fair to paint with a broad brush. But I know a number of people. These are, you know, good company engineering people that didn't pay their debts. It went away. They ultimately did not pay their debts. I'm going to let the house go. No, you're not going to pay the debt. You're not going to pay what you owed. I'll probably just go into bankruptcy. That starts to become a right and wrong type issue. Now you get ones where I had a terrible medical thing and it wiped me out, there's the other side of things that unavoidable, but some of these people, it's just, the other phrase I love to use your phrase is, pull cash out of your house. Out of your house? That's a loan, man. And
talk to my sister about it.
I mean, we all have got it in our family, I'm sure.
From her husband he gave her a beautiful home, free. It was no debt. 5 years later, she's got $450,000 worth of debt. She refinanced, and we don't even know where the money went.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Yep. I mean, I go sit there and you're nuts. I mean, it's a
But yeah, it's part of the psyche that people
it's
have.
It's a standard culture, it's, yeah,
it,
Kelly?
It is a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Very much so.
The other one that I, so our nephew went to Boise State, and he was telling me when he came up that he got student loans. And student loans, you know, for better or worse, his student loan isn't for what he has to pay, like, because he's going to have a job, and he's going to have, you know, he's going to have the ability to pay something. It's the entire thing.
Yeah.
So that he got sold on, we'll give you this money for 4 years, instead of actually thinking about a budget and what he absolutely needed to borrow. And so I think in that way,
credit's easy. Credit's easy.
Well, it's gone from paying for your books and your tuition to paying for your apartment.
Beer and pizza.
Party up.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no accountability.
Yeah.
I see kids with debt, $200,000 and $300,000. They get married.
And you get a doubling.
And each one has a debt. They're $300,000 to $400,000.
And like I said, this is not for a medical doctor. This is
somebody should take care of this. Yeah. This is this is awful. I can't.
This was predatory lending. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, and some of it is. All right. So I'm going to cut us off here. I think we're all in the same flavor. You know, I suppose if there's those of us in the room that have been on the other end of things and are, you know, so anyway.
There's a good reason to get into debt. I mean,
we come to this actually. I'm gonna ask the hold. There's that. These three categories of debt that are coming up. So if we move forward here, there's these untold facts of debt. I think we covered most of this. Cost of every item increases dramatically in some cases. There is this temporary illusion of affluence. That was something I didn't care for in the video. Was, oh, it's expensive suits, cars you don't need, and vacations. No, it could be groceries or, you know, standard items, paying your electric bill or whatever. It doesn't have to be, oh, the secretary thought I was looking good. I better get to the gym. Oh, come on, you know. So anyway.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens.
Oh, sure. Past consumption without a plan to pay it reduces future freedom of choice. That's really interesting. That's those chains, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could talk about that in many aspects of life, financial. This is the kid that gets arrested for doing something really stupid when he's 18 and 1 month. It's going to follow you around, right? Same thing with, it can happen on a credit basis as well. Now, on the bottom there, there is, why don't we do like we have been doing? Let's read from Galatians chapter 6 altogether. There's a gray box about two-thirds of the way down. It says, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So, consequences. And I mean, yeah, there's many who enjoy, I think I told you my own personal story. In my house, we were growing up, we didn't spend, my dad would not, he was hoarding money. Well, I mean, that was kind of not the maybe the best thing at the time. My mother's loving it now. She got pretty, you know, so there's consequences, I guess, good and bad, right? So, unexpected circumstances that can bring us some debt. We're not ready for that yet. So maybe some of the unexpected life situations that have put people into debt. Let's throw a few out. I think we've heard some of these in the past weeks. For me, medical is always the one you hear about. Some guy that's running a construction company, he's a framer, and he's doing pretty well, he's scraping by, he's just starting to get by, and he falls off the roof, and company's done, all his materials, all his jobs, he can't collect. He's got, you know, bought equipment, got to pay guys, and he's hosed. You know, you hear about those kind of situations. Others, guys?
Elder care.
Absolutely. Yeah, you get stuck with your folks' bill. They thought they had saved enough, and then you find $10,000 a month, really, for an apartment? You know, these kind of things. What else, guys?
One food.
Yeah, right, right.
Any circumstance that puts your vehicle under before you're ready for it?
Yeah, sure. That's a good one.
I would say the untimely death of the spouse if you hadn't planned.
For sure. Yeah, amen. Or losing a spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Even unexpected addition to family. They have birth or grandchildren.
You're pregnant?
Yeah. Not always planned.
Yeah. No, I mean... Yeah, Tom.
Well, the first example you told, we lived through that with our oldest son.
It's not uncommon.
He fell off a roof 30 feet, broke his back, broke his hip, and he was the sole provider. So if it wasn't for his parents and Wells members, they had to go into debt.
Yeah.
Workman's comp wouldn't cover it all, so it took him about 10 years to recover.
Yeah, I mean, an accident, somebody rear-ends you, and we can all sit there and go, oh, these scummy lawyers that try to go get money back. Some cases, the scummy lawyer goes, and they may get you. Maybe they get you $200,000 settlement. They take the first 100.
Yeah.
The accountants take another 10. You pay tax, and you're left with 50, and now you got a medical bill of 100. You're hosed.
Yeah.
So, and you can't do your job anymore, and you got to retrain and whatever. So, those guys are pretty scummy. Don't get me wrong, some of them, but the ambulance chasers. But, I mean, you can easily, what did I do? I stopped at a stoplight. Yeah. No, there's some kind of things where people are victimized.
A lot of job loss from 2008 to
excellent.
Economic downturn.
Excellent.
For people that have come back, it's hard if you're making X, then all of a sudden have to switch around to go to Y, and it's, say, 40% less than you were. It takes a while to adjust that income on down. So, I mean, those are things with these situations you get into. And it's too easy with a credit card to go out.
Yeah.
I don't know how many applications I can leave you. You're eligible for another credit card.
Let's flip the page. 56. On that note, yeah. Yeah, on that note, remember the poll. So let's do this a little differently. If you guys are comfortable, we'll go around the room and everybody just take one of the Bible references. I'll introduce it with the words and then you just say the Bible verse. So number one, debt can make the borrower slave to the lender. Joyce?
Okay. The rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender, which is Proverbs 22:7.
Thank you. Debt may be poor judgment that risks losing what you have.
A man lacking in judgment strikes hands in pledge and puts up security for his neighbor.
Debt can have a negative effect upon your family.
Every man brings trouble to his family.
Pretty straight. Debt often makes assumptions that can negatively affect your future.
Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go for this or that city. Spend a year there, carry on businesses, and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.
Thanks, Cassie. Debt may keep you from relying on God's promises to supply your need.
And do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well.
Dealing with debt may need speedy action.
My son, if you have struck hands in pledge for another, then do this. My son, to free yourself, go and humble yourself. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter.
I don't know that I've seen that one as much. Solomon, pretty smart guy. A lot of Solomon in here. Well, I mean, I think it's generally accepted by Bible scholars. Literally the smartest man ever to live, other than Jesus. But literally the smartest man ever to live spent some time talking about this stuff. Maybe going back to that question we challenged ourselves with at the beginning, is some of this debt a moral question? I think it is. I think the Bible tells you some do's and don'ts in there, and you go right ahead and do it. Not only are you going to, like the prior one where there was kind of the consequences thing, in some cases he's saying don't do it. Just don't do it. So no different than, I don't know, any other sin, right? Not being sexually pure, or not doing this or that, or not going to worship. I mean, it's a sin right alongside of them. So I think we kind of started to answer some of that.
Well, we can get into with debt on this type of thing, in borrowing. Can it be good? Yes.
Yep.
Can it be bad? More often than not, yes. You've got to limit and be careful on what you do. How many of us could buy a house if we didn't go into debt to do it? But we have to look at what it is in the big picture of things.
Yeah. No, thank you, Steve, for tempering that. I didn't mean to come off.
No, I mean, that's...
Everybody's got a Chris Sinners. So,
we used to use the thing of the 80, the 10-10-80, 10% to the law, 10% for save, you know, for your retirement, and the other 80% is where you're spending. So your house is worth off of what that 80% is after taxes and everything else you've got. Okay, so now you don't buy the bigger, you get down to a next level. Do you buy a Cadillac or do you buy a Honda? Okay, both are going to get you there.
Choices, and more choices. But
where is the debt being utilized?
Yep. One thing that I picked up in the leader guide here, the second gray box, Proverbs 17:18, the author here, I'll just read what it says. This is really interesting. If I'm trying to apply Proverbs 17:18, if someone asks you to co-sign a loan, the writer says, don't do it. It's poor judgment. If the banks didn't trust this person's ability to repay, what makes you think you can? Be wise on this matter. So I guess it didn't go far as to say it's sinful. It's just stupid. The co-signing thing, that was really interesting they called that out because, this has popped up in my family, I can tell you.
Loans often, you wind up having to be the co-signer for the
That's too cold.
No, you don't have to worry about it. That's why I bring it.
It's right here. I got it.
But what are we on? 85?
He was ready to put it up when we first started. But I put money for my daughter for her car. But I figure, well, if something happens, I'm going to have to pay it off, and that'll be my car.
And I think it's a judgment. I don't think it's so black and white, because a co-signing could be somebody who doesn't have credit.
Yeah,
somebody who's
back. There's always it's not black and white.
There's different ways to do that too.
Yeah. There's different.
You can We helped our grandson. We will not co-sign for anybody, but we had money in an account at a bank, and so it was a pledge that said he would make the payments to the bank. The car was in his name. The loan was in his name. They gave him the loan, and our debt went down every time he made a payment.
No, it's why. I mean, it's just wisdom. It comes down to wisdom. I mean,
yes, it did.
I think everybody. I'll give you another example. I think everybody knows that we offer our colored workers some assistance with their down payment. What a wonderful way to use some credit for those things. It's not. You're right. It's not black and white.
Some financial advisors, planners, say that if you are going to loan people money, that it's not a loan, it's a gift. They may pay it back, but if they don't, now a gift. Because what recourse do you have? If you go after them, are you providing, you know, the spirit that the Lord wants you to be in helping somebody? Maybe you get part of the money back, maybe you don't. But if you go into it
with your mindset,
that you're responsible for that, then that's it. An honest person will make an attempt to repay you. And so that's kind of the position that we've taken with our kids. You know, they come to us for a loan, that's okay, but if they don't pay it back, you know, we have just gifted that to them.
Comes out of their inheritance.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of wisdom in there about your mental mindset. If I'm thinking of some kind of business deal,
if you can't afford to lose it, don't give it.
Yeah. Amen. Well said. All right. So let's.
When you're dealing in business, if you co-sign for your partner, you're buying all his debts maybe as well. So you have to be very careful.
Yeah, you know, business partnerships is a whole other book, a lot thicker. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to page 57 in the book. I don't want to move too fast, but any other main points here? Let's look at what about those credit cards? And we talk about credit cards, debit cards. We could probably do this. We are kind of a small group, so we can do a small group discussion. Let's have some commentary on the following reasons giving for using a credit card: access to emergency money, needed for some purchases, like a car rental or a hotel or an airplane ticket or anything, it seems like. Safety and convenience, I guess that kind of follows emergency. And then bonus miles or points were mentioned. Any thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah. None of those are provided by God. Isn't that what we just said earlier, that God says that he will provide us everything we need?
He does. We could go back on some of that. There's that one that talks about the second from the bottom, Luke 12. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about anything. But the first part says, do not set your heart on it, which to me I think means you're consumed by it. I mean, use your brain, but being consumed by it, like literally, this is on me. I've now stopped trusting the Lord. This is on me to take care of this. So I think, Sam, there's probably some...
And now that I said that, that doesn't mean that you don't plan an emergency fund. So when the water heater goes out, you've got funds to pay
That's
for
right.
it. You don't plan some way to go on a vacation, maybe saving up the money before you go and rent a car and so on and so on.
Well said.
So on and so on and so on.
See, our parents didn't rely on credit.
No, it's a fairly new invention.
It's a new invention. Yeah. It's a trap.
The second and especially the third and the fourth bullet points there, if one is a good steward of a credit card, one can benefit from these benefits. Carrying a lot of cash around can be dangerous, and one can use a credit card, benefit from the security aspect of it, benefit from the points, and never carry a balance.
Yeah, that's right.
Taking advantage of something.
It becomes a purchasing card, not a credit card. There, yeah. Maybe that
happens. Yeah. If you put all these things on your credit card for all these reasons, and then you lose your job or you're disabled, there's no money to pay that card, and that begins the spiral down.
But if you're not carrying a balance from month to month, you're not in such a hole that. You might have a little bit to deal with there, but it's probably...
Well, and some of it's what you buy. If you're buying groceries, normal whatever groceries, that's fine. You're buying the whatever the guy was buying for Hawaii, that's another story, right? So, yeah. Okay, girls, Sarah.
That's not just...
Or, sorry, Kathy.
No, it's okay. My parents just, gave me a credit card a couple years ago because, being a college student, I buy, all my books online, and, using that versus the cash card, someone gets a hold of that, all your cash is gone. But
that's a
card,
really good point, yeah.
You can, talk to your bank about it. And, my mom and my dad always taught me, as soon as you use your credit card, it's, gone, and you use, the money in your savings or checking account to pay that off right away. So you never have to pay.
That's a really good point. Another one I was thinking, looking at you two girls, is, my daughter's... about to get a driver's permit, but in a few years, so you send these young ladies, send them off to college, and who knows what situation they could find themselves in. It's late at night, and I need this or you need that. It doesn't need to be a $20,000 balance card, but you could really need. I really need some money right now. What are we gonna do? Staple $100 to your arm or something? I mean, but
my
the
grandma did. Yeah.
So anyway, I think there's some. Anyway, as usual, there's not black and white. There's a lot of gray here and wisdom rules.
You can't get an airline ticket unless you have a credit card. Now, one trick you can do is we've been using over the year in pencil. We write in and subtract it from our checking account.
Yeah, not bad. I've also heard of them.
I get it.
I've heard of some of these banks, and they're smart. They actually they have a purchasing card, and they actually go in and they deduct from your credit, your checking every week. Whatever you paid that week. There's no now. Do they forego the interest potentially and let it piling up? I mean, yeah. But they also their cash flow, their time to cash. They don't have to wait 30 days. They're getting it just a couple of days after. So it's kind of a, no, they don't get that. I just tacked 15% on. They don't get that, but they do get their cash fast, and cash flow is a big deal.
The reason they're doing that is because of the companies that go back when people have run up a debt and cash it in, now they're getting it ahead of time. They're not paying.
Cash flow is key. Yes, Jenny.
The world is so messed up, as we all know. I remember when we were young, we couldn't get a credit card. You go off to college, you're lucky if your parents give you a JCPenney card to get underwear. Then you both have jobs, and you buy a $56,000 house in Topeka, Kansas, and Sears won't give you a credit card to get a washer and dryer.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you go to the college campus, those kids are eating like kings. You always say, if you go to a college town, there's going to be good food. Yeah. Everywhere on the main rack. You get how many credit card applications?
Passing them out, yeah.
And they pass them out like candy. Then those kids grow up, and the bank tells them that they can afford a $600,000 house when maybe $275 or $325 at the most is what they should be spending. But I mean, here in the U.S., we are out of control, and nobody saves for retirement. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
It's our responsibility as parents to teach our youngsters before they go away to college how to budget. And so they have a $500 card, and if it's a purchasing card, or what you can classify as a purchasing card, and they run into an emergency, it's simple enough. You can get cash to them in a matter of minutes with the technology the way it is today. And so I think there's a lot to be said about teaching our youth, our kids, at a young age, how to handle credit.
Amen. Amen.
And you send them off to college, you're not just going to leave them. I mean, if they're out there drowning and they can't find a place to eat or have food to eat, you're going to give them money.
Yeah.
So it's not like she was saying, you know, grandma would always put the $100 bill, you know, in your pocket.
Straight to the bar.
Your $100 bill is now a cash card that you have access to deposit to.
We all ate peanut butter, and like I said, they're all eating like kings. Yeah. When you go to those cafeterias,
they can't eat
glass.
All right, I'm cutting it off. We all agree. Cutting it off. The second half, why credit cards increase your spending costs. I think all these things, credit cards don't feel like cash. It's not real money.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
That's the low self-esteem, impulse buying, you know, whatever. There's that. Impatience.
Have you ever had somebody look at you while you're in line writing a check? They're impatient. They don't want to wait for you to write a check.
Sure, sure. I'm just telling you that. Hardly anyone writes a check anymore.
It's going on there.
All right. I think we've covered all this stuff. So these credit card rules. Let's flip the page, 58. Two credit card rules. This is what they're saying, hard and fast. Planned purchases only. Pay it off.
Yep.
They're saying if you break that rule, you've proven to yourself you can't do it. Cut it. Seriously. Cut the card. So you get that statement, and there's those cute shoes, or that buying my buddies around at the bar. Done. I mean, literally, that's what they're suggesting. That's pretty important things. Pretty hard and fast way to look at it. And it does. It comes back to self-esteem. Well, you know, Joyce is buying all this stuff. I don't want to look like whatever it is, right? So. I don't know. Any good questions to ask yourself before choosing debt? It starts talking about. I'll prime the pump here. This was an interesting. We talked about names and terminology and marketing. What if these cards were called debt cards?
I don't think
the bank would do that.
I don't know. I personally don't think people care. They want what they want.
Debit, yeah. Debt, whatever you want to say. Hey, it's free money until like
the bill comes. Debit is not.
Yeah.
No. But I mean,
no debt card.
I know what he was saying.
Oh, no, but I mean, we call it debit. We call it debt. It doesn't matter what you call a card. They're going to spend it anyways until they don't have the money to spend it.
Well, we've probably all been in line at some store, and there's literally someone who's going, they got all their items, they're going up there. They truly don't know whether they're going to get told yes or no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've seen there's two or three of them.
And like, oh, that one, oh, I guess I'm not getting it. Wow, really? Probably a lot of us couldn't sleep at night, but it's just interesting where we are kind of culturally. Let's move on then. What about your credit score? So we, does everybody know she works at FICO? My wife.
I did my best to get my score to zero.
Yeah.
That's
not a good idea either.
I hope not.
Then I can't go in debt.
It doesn't go well.
Yeah.
I know.
You realize that you can't get utilities without a credit score. I mean, you can already have them because
that's
history,
right.
But new kids can't get.
That's right. New kids.
Yeah. So
if my score goes to zero, I'm going to live the same lifestyle that I'm living right now.
But you have a history for young kids. That's not a great strategy.
Yeah. Back to the teaching our kids thing, though. Yeah. That's I like that strategy, but yeah, it's not going to work. Yeah.
It shows more responsibility if you have shown that you can spend and pay. And
building your credit history, building your financial self is a lot like building your professional, your resume. So yeah.
I think again with a credit score, you have to be again very self-determined in what you're going to spend, because you can, for instance, if you go to buy a car, I'll look up your credit score. And, you know, what they told me was, oh, your credit score is so good, you can buy any car on this lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to a young person might, like, think, you know, like, instead of being very, like, no, I can't.
Disciplined, yeah.
You know, like, you have to be super disciplined, because if you have a good credit score, they will try to sell you something beyond what
of course they will.
You can.
Yeah. Amen.
Realtors too. All these features.
Realtors will try to talk you into, you know, they'll look at it and say, oh, you can afford this $1 million house, when really you can't, because your payments and interest and insurance and everything else that goes along with it. So you have to be careful and be smart about what you really can afford.
Yep. Too many people don't realize how many things affect your FICO score. Okay. Like, you know, if you've got 20 credit cards, what they look at your overall debt and how much is available to you. And I've seen people with all these credit cards with, they don't use them all, but they have, you know, a couple of $1 million worth of access to credit. They've got a lower credit score than somebody who's got.
I'll do you one better. I don't think this is happening, but she's told me there's talk about, so let's say you're all my Facebook friends, and this is all publicly information now. So I'm on there, and Fran's my Facebook friend. Fran's got a crappy credit score. It could start affecting me.
Really?
And, I see that you've checked in on Facebook at 3 auto dealerships. And you should not be buying a car. Whack the credit score. And some of this online stuff, I'm not saying they're doing it. I'm saying the information is out there. Saying, oh, you're in a relationship. They do that little heart thing. And then they go check her score. And she's going to drag him down. Whack his score. Right? So, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Your phone knows when you walk into a store. Your phone will...
Your phone will tell you where you're at.
That freaks you out. But so. Gunner always paid for everything and worked in cash and stuff like that. And I can't remember what it was, but he...
Lack of credit experience, I imagine, is the term. Yeah.
So he was punished. He was not able... And he's like, wait, for being responsible, you're not going to give me...
Persecution, I tell you.
Well, paying off your credit cards, too, can hurt you every month because you're not building, you know, with certain banks and stuff, because you're not giving them the interest.
Fine.
You get mad.
We had cards canceled because we didn't use them.
Well, I don't know how many of you were... We were in a zip code that got redlined after the mortgage meltdown, and our home equity line got taken away. I think we had no money on it, and we had, you know, like 50-something percent equity in our house. But they canceled it because you're in that zip code.
They froze the credit lines. Nobody could borrow against
just based on your zip code. So anyway.
My favorite credit story, just really quick, is the guy who runs FICO scores.
So you're going to tell your own story.
No. He thought he was going to be really smart, and he actually had all those credit cards with zero interest for a year. So he took his mortgage and he spread it over like 10 credit cards. And then when those 90 days were over, he spread it to the next 10 credit cards. Then so he had like $250,000 on credit cards. He was rolling every year to zero until they stopped giving him credit cards because he had too much open debt. And then he had to come up with a way to pay at 20%. And he couldn't get a loan because his credit was crashed. He now runs scores at FICO. So.
You hear about people, all these kids that by spending time online, they actually finance themselves a 3-month vacation. Free this, free that, free this, free that, and you just play it to where the vacation was actually free. If you're willing to invest 6-8 hours a day for a few, you know. Anyway, so that's about the credit score, but yeah, it's important. I mean, it really is important. You can mess yourself up. So they talk about, what is it? The government says that the three biggies have to give you your score every year for free, stuff like that. And yeah, you'll find stuff on there like. Macy's card. Do we even have that? Oh yeah, we had that huge thing of clothing for back to school, and they offered us 15% off. So we took it, paid it off, never used it again. Oh, we better close that account. Just stupid little things like that, right?
I don't know them personally, but I know people that have gotten caught up in the older one when you have your mortgage and reverse
mortgage. Yeah.
So, if you were to do that, be very.
I heard one on the radio that says, "We offer reverse mortgages to our clients older than 66." So they've just cut it off. They're saying we're taking a standard. We're not going to do a reverse mortgage somebody 50-some years old. Yeah. So
I've only heard horror stories.
The problem is
it's a specialized program. It's very, very costly. But for some people, it's really necessary.
It could work.
You're not for everybody.
No, it's a
tool that can be used.
Yes, it can be a good one for certain people.
I think that using your credit card and paying it off each month is almost like a management tool.
Yeah, but you can get dinged for that too.
You can. But the chances are slim because if you're paying it off every month, the chances are you're not spending.
So you guys, I'll give you another example. You guys remember Greg Buxa? He was a member here. He got up pretty high in the Coast Guard. He's a captain. I think it's the equivalent of like a full-bird colonel in the other service. Pretty high up. He got his FICO score checked, I think, every month. And they were checking his financials and all this. It happens with FBI guys. Happens if you move up in the police.
Yeah.
Because what happens if you start, you start getting in financial trouble, you're now a target for a foreign spy
so
for some careers it's that important. I don't think that that's another thing. You know, you hear about the depths of the internet and you go to apply for a job, you better believe they're checking your Facebook page. So that funny picture of you in Cancun doing 89 shots of tequila on your page, yeah, that was real funny. There's your employer looking at it. You know, whatever, and they say in some employment lines that your employer will check your credit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so it's just something to be taken care of. We're kind of at a point where those bells are going to start ringing here. So we're about halfway through, and we've kind of gotten the negative. So I'm going to go back, and I would like to touch on some of those thought-provoking questions. The moral aspect of debt. I think we said that. When done wrong, it is wrong. It is sinful to mismanage this thing. It is actually a matter of right and wrong, not just personal choice. The one thing that didn't get hit hard in here that, like I say, maybe it's just my age and the people I run with and kids of a certain age and things like that, the student loan question, we'll actually get to this. To Steve's point earlier, I think it's page... Well, it doesn't really matter. We'll get it next week. It talks about like different categories of. It's actually on page 60. You know, level 1, level 2, level 3. Kind of like terrible and great uses of debt. I don't know. Or yeah, it's not that black and white, but it talks about it. Where do student loans go in there, and what are they used for? Back in 2000, I think student loans have just exploded in the last like 10, 15 years, even more than before. Part of that's the rising cost of student loan. Part of that is the parents who have kind of mismanaged their own finances. They don't have much help to offer. There's a lot of reasons for it. I talked about parents helping. I think Sam kind of, these two nailed it, man. These guys are pretty helpful to us. How you can help by training them before they get into a mess. And then some practical ways that, I see your need. Mentally, this is a gift. Oh, please don't screw this up, right? You got to think. I think that was good.
I think it comes from the heart. Kids, too, need to know, depending on what career you're going to do and how much you're going to be making doing it, because some kids, they want to go to certain colleges, and like you said, it's going to break up $250,000, and they're going to be a poet. You might want to rethink that. I'm thinking
intentional. Or they could major in theater.
I'm going to start a band, man. So. Yeah.
And they've changed student loans from back with.
Yeah, that's what I don't
think. It was strictly for books, tuition. Well, not even room and board. They wouldn't accept it. That had to be from the parents. But it was tuition and books was all you could borrow against. Well, so that was a little better. I mean, now it's for.
At one time, there was not a huge emphasis on ever paying it back. It just rolled over. Recently, the backers, you and me, have insisted that that's not right. They should be obligated to a payment plan and pay that back.
Well, another, yeah, I mean.
And so it's got worse because there wasn't a whole lot that was spent on it, and nobody really thought about having to pay it back. Now, like you said, you can.
A 50-year repayment plan just isn't possible anymore. It used to be.
Yeah.
But another thing is, just a few student loans. I guess they're almost never discharged through bankruptcy. You can't get away from them.
That's right.
And then the compounding. We had a family member that claims they borrowed $45,000, and with compounding, it's ballooned over $100,000. So,
I thought they were usually low interest, maybe, like 1 or 2%.
Some, and that's where they talk about maybe it is predatory lending.
Not for if you go outside of the government loans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are student loans that
they're for-profit companies doing those things.
So the government ones are the low cost.
But they're hard to get, and they're mostly for books and tuition. Yeah, Jenny.
Morgan has a friend who was a super stud athlete. She could have gotten a scholarship at many colleges, and it would have been paid in full. But she would go to one college for a couple years, and then a private college. And one minute she was going to be a psychologist, and she was going to be a ranger, and then she was going to be a farmer. I mean, she's been all over the place. And now we're talking, almost 10 years later. She lives up in Washington, and she became a police officer. And in the meantime, she had bought homes and brand new trucks, this and that. I mean, she lived high on the hog. Now she has decided to be a police officer. We'll see for how long. And she makes, I think, around $55,000 a year. And she got some type of loan thing that if she pays, based on her salary, $50 a month for, I think it was 10 years, maybe a little bit longer, they will wipe
that's
out.
That's a public thing. That's
especially for police, fire.
Oh, really? Maybe that's why she became it, because she's got hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I think teachers qualify for that too.
I didn't think of that.
But I think you have to go to a special place.
All right, guys, we're going to cut this off for now. That's good news.